Peace be with you. Please be seated. Morning again. I've been holding on to this short phrase all week. Peace be with you. Ever since we heard it last week in John's telling of Jesus appearing to the gathered disciples, it has repeated over and over in my prayer and daily life. In John's gospel, the disciples were hiding in a locked room for fear of the Jews. And here in Luke, the disciples are gathered with no reference to where. As Jesus suddenly, it seems, is standing among them, as they are discussing the reports of his appearances, the disciples are startled and terrified, as I'm sure I would be. And I'm intrigued by Jesus' response to their fear. His first words spoken into their fear are, "Peace be with you." Jesus gets their fear. He understands that what has unfolded has prompted their fear. Their leader was bloodied and cruelly killed. His body was missing. Now the women who had gone to prepare his body for burial had spoken of his having risen from the dead. And two from Emmaus had traveled all the way back to Jerusalem to share the news that Jesus was revealed to them as they broke bread together. They were trying to figure out what was true and what wasn't. They felt as though they were immersed in chaos and confusion. What was truth and what was fake news? They were feeling many of the things that we feel every day as the news moves from one troubling thing to another, from one frightening new development in the world to the next. They were feeling a myriad of emotions: fear, frustration, guilt, confusion, grief, doubt, anxiety, suspicion, hopelessness, terror for their own lives. They hadn't quite processed all of this, along with what could be exciting and miraculous news, when Jesus is there, standing among them. Jesus understands and challenges their fear. Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Jesus meets the disciples right where they are, in their confusion and fear and guilt and doubt. And then what does he do next? He invites the disciples to look at his hands and his feet, where they can see the mark of the nails. He invites them to touch him and to see that he is no ghost. And then he does an everyday, perfectly natural thing and asks for something to eat. And he eats the offered fish right there in front of them. And in these ordinary things, he encourages the disciples to move out of their fear, to be transformed by joy. Their fear does turn to joy, and yet the fear lingers. How can we reason this out? We see what we see, but how can it be? Jesus again understands and then opens their minds to understand the scripture, reminding them of the prophecy that death is not the final word, setting them free from their fear and disbelief. And then they are appointed to be witnesses to the power of God in the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has moved his frightened band of disciples from fear and hiding and transformed them into witnesses to the hope and power of resurrection. The power of the resurrection is a power to transform us, to call us to repentance, which simply means to turn around and begin anew, letting the seeds of hope and belief be planted in us in new and life-giving ways. The power of resurrection has the power to open our eyes to God's mission as witnesses to God's justice in a world in desperate need of it? How can we be the people that Jesus died for us to be? An Easter people of hope and justice and mercy and love. How can we be those people? We can shout with joy as we have, "The Lord is risen indeed, alleluia." And then we can still leave this place with thoughts of evil leaders using chemical weapons on their own people, bombs dropping and killing people in retaliation, gunshots heard almost daily in our streets, 41 beloved children of God shot to death since January here in St. Louis, 33 of them black. Even an argument we had with a friend or family member that we just can't shake. And suddenly the joy and hope is diminished bit by bit. And just like the disciples, insecurities overwhelm our belief in the power of resurrection. And it doesn't take very long. We are only on day 15 of the great 50 days of Easter. And already the power in our voices when we respond, "The Lord is risen indeed," is getting weaker and weaker. Now, about this point in preparing the sermon, I was getting really bummed. So I assume you might be too. And then as I repeated over and over my mantra, "Peace be with you," I remembered something that I'd read along the way of my preparations this week. And I set about looking back for reflections by Eustacia Moffat Marshall in the African American Lectionary. She wrote, "Jesus is met as a stranger on the road to Emmaus and is invited into an intimate space. A meal is shared, and in this exchange, the stranger guest becomes the host, blessing, breaking, distributing bread. And in this moment of table fellowship, the disciples' eyes were opened, and they recognized the living Christ. By inviting the stranger into an intimate space and sharing together, the living Christ is experienced. This is a prophetic act because the invitation is contrary to the powers that divide, exploit, exclude, discriminate, and dominate. It is the demand that we practice inclusion and has implications for the way in which we approach mission and evangelism. It has implications for the way in which we approach immigration, refugees, unsheltered neighbors, children, youth, LGBTQI persons in our community, the evils of racism, gun violence, victims of assault, and trafficking. It has implications in the ways we show the love of Christ to all God's people. We may do well to heed a call to expand our community through a prophetic invitation." The point is well taken on an Easter Sunday, in which so many of our churches see more visitors than other times during the year. In addition, the decline of the mainline church in North America may well be curbed because resurrected with new life, we can practice this kind of prophetic invitation. It is a power from on high initiative, a resurrection people initiative, disrupting the xenophobic power of the empire and echoing the scriptural charge to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. She goes on to say that another work of the Easter witness is to practice prophetic imagination. This is the task of discovering meaning, hope, and promise in tragic times. The crucifixion was a tool to terrorize and dishearten subversive sensibility and activity. It had done so to the disciples as they walked with their heads down and their shoulders rolled over on the Emmaus Road, and as they gathered in fear in Jerusalem after the crucifixion. However, Jesus makes sense of the tragedy from the perspective of Scripture, which included the reality of the cross and also the promise of resurrection. It is Jesus' recounting of Scripture's sacred narrative that causes the disciples' hearts to go from broken to burning. The powers of the empire present an incomplete story. In telling the whole story of the cross, Jesus takes a tool meant to serve the empire and turns it against the empire. With power from on high, Easter witnesses are able to proclaim that same story too. Through an encounter with the resurrected Jesus, we can see the work of God even in suffering. And we are able to point the eyes of the hopeless and the discouraged to the working hand of God in their lives. Destructive powers of the world do not write the final chapter in the book of our Christian life. Jesus' resurrection is evidence that God has another ending. This is good news, because in the world's chapter, we were exiled and excluded. In Jesus' chapter, we are invited and included. In the world's chapter, we were beaten, broken, defeated, and counted out. In Jesus' chapter, we are counted in. And because of what Jesus has done and what we have witnessed, we've moved from having broken hearts to burning hearts. With hearts aflame, we must journey on. Clothed with power from on high, we will work together and work with God toward a different future. The promise is sure. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, Eustacia wrote these words to the African American and Black community who live the reality of exclusion, hatred born of fear and ignorance that denies their God-given, Jesus died for humanity and justice. As people of the resurrection, our hearts must be transformed and burn with the fire of the work we must each do to include, invite, welcome, raise up, stand behind, and love, seeking justice for all who society seeks to diminish and exclude. As a resurrection people, we must claim the power of the chapter's final word of justice, mercy, hope, and new life for all. So what are the locked doors behind which you hide in your life? Is it fear of a mass shooting in public places you fear to frequent anymore? Fear of the loss of security, our personal information at risk all the time? Many of our homes and neighborhoods are gated. Fear of being killed at the hand of another? Fear of being pulled over while driving black or brown? Fear of death itself? What door do we hide behind and forget the power of the resurrection? The power of resurrection is the power that plants seeds of hope in us, in all of us, seeds of transformation. Nancy Blakely writes in Feasting on the Word, "The hope of the resurrection is grounded in the experience of those first followers. Closed minds can be opened. The Word of God calls us to peace rather than security." The passage from Luke asks the question of us today. How are we to be released from our fears, including our fear of the other, in order to be the witness to the love, justice, and mercy of the resurrected Christ we are called to be? She goes on, "Jesus suddenly appeared in the midst of his followers. He brought change to their lives as they moved from fright and alarm to joy mixed with disbelief and puzzlement, to open and understanding minds and hearts. That marked shift in the core of their beings led them forth to take great risks, witnessing to the risen Christ. None of us would be sitting here without it. Jesus did not bring them security. Rather, they risked all in following his call. They had come to understand that Jesus had conquered the ultimate threat, death itself, and their fears were groundless. Jesus' words, "Peace be with you," came alive in their hearts and so alive in their lives. The challenge to us as Christians in the times we live in is great. Are we able to let go of our desire to be secure, whatever that might look like, so that we can be a people of resurrection power, a people who are witnesses to the inclusion of every single one of God's beloved? Can we witness to the power of God's love and justice to move those who suffer at the hand of others from broken hearts to burning hearts? Peace be with you. Jesus calls us to declare the presence and power of God in word and deed, in the midst of evil, tragedy, injustice, despair, and death, so that every broken heart can be burning with hope and every life fully valued. Our faith demands nothing less. Amen.